Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Bhakti Vai Bhava ki
jai.
Grantara Shina Bhagavatam
ki jai.
Kirira Maharaj
ki jai.
Chaitanya Goprema
ki jai.
So your open book examinations are due today or tomorrow. So please hand them in at the end of the class. What did we discuss in our previous class?
When one chants clearly, everything in Srila Prabhupada's book will be revealed.
Good point. Anything else?
In material world, everybody is greedy and making plans for material enjoyment. And that's why Prabhupada calls them madmen. Prakati ki iman, yone karvani chati. Thank God, yone karvani chati.
Anything else?
You were telling us how when we are outside the association of devotees, we feel that we are more advanced than we actually are.
Progress in Bhakti Yoga depends on the mercy of the spiritual master and Vaishnava.
Anything else?
You told us the pastime of that old lady who was stirring the khichdi with the useless stick, which she was biting at one end and she was using the other end to stir. Her son was coming running to meet it, and then Sanatana Goswami chastised her. And Krishna started crying. And so Sanatana Goswami, Krishna asked Sanatana Goswami to mind his own.
Shreya says you do it sometimes also. Any other points? Okay, so this is chapter 24. We've finished the pastime of Karanjana, which went from chapter 25 till 29. And then we've gone back to 24, which is the song by Lord Shiva, which is sung to the sons of Prachinabahi, who are the Prachetas. And tonight we'll finish the chapter, we'll finish the prayers of Lord Shiva. And then we'll go into chapters 30 and 31, which hopefully we'll finish in the next few weeks. And then we'll have the examination for chapters 24 to 31, pastime of the Prachetas and the pastime of Puranjana. So, Lord Shiva is instructing the Prachetas. We hear that they have gone searching for self-realization. They've come across Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva has begun to instruct them about the glories of the Lord. Now these prayers are very powerful, and tonight we'll hear the final part of the prayers, which means Lord Shiva will give benediction for anyone who hears these prayers. So quite often in the Bhagavatam, when you finish a section, then there will be some benediction, Ashirvad, or some benediction at the end of the prayers. What you will attain by reciting or hearing these prayers sincerely. So, Lord Shiva first describes the glories of the Lord, then he describes the glories of meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord. Then he describes the glories of devotional service, and then he describes the nature of the Lord being everywhere in the creation and none different from the creation. Tonight we'll hear the final conclusion of those prayers by Lord Shiva. Any points? Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 69 to 79, which is the conclusion of this chapter. And then we'll move once again to chapter 30 and 31, which will finish the fourth canto. So that next year, the plan is that we begin canto 5 from the beginning. My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune, for the Lord will be very much pleased with you.
The prayers offered by Lord Shiva are very important and significant. Simply by offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, one can become perfect, even though engaged in occupational duty. The real purpose of life is to become a devotee of the Lord. It does not matter where one is situated, whether one is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, American, Englishman, Indian, etc. One can execute devotional service anywhere and everywhere in the material existence simply by offering prayers and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a prayer, for a prayer addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His name and invokes good fortune by petitioning the Lord to allow one to engage in His devotional service. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also says, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Lord Rama, O energy of the Lord, Hare, kindly engage me in your service. Although one may be situated in a lowly position, he can execute devotional service under any circumstances. As stated, Agaitri Aparadina, devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. Lord Chaitanya also recommended this process. Jane Prayasa, Udabhasya, Namanta Eva, Jeevanti San, Mukharita, Bhavadiya, Vrasam, Stane Chida, Suti Kada, Anuban, Tanobi, Ye Prayasa Jida, Ita Api Api, Ali Sri Lokim. One may remain situated in his own place or in his own occupational duty and still lend his to receive the message of the Lord. From realized source, the Krishna conscious movement is based on this principle. And we are opening centers all over the world to give everyone a chance to hear the message of the Lord Krishna in order to go back home, back to Godhead.
So, what are the points in this first paragraph? So we hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, and on his tour he came through one place called Kurukshetra, and he met one Brahmana whose name was Korma. So when he met the Brahmana, he associated with him, and the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he is so attractive that wherever he went, everyone wanted to keep his association. No one wanted to leave his association. So the Brahmana, Korma, he was a Grihastha, which means that he was engaged in worldly affairs. He had family responsibilities. But he wanted to renounce everything when he got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just leave and travel with the Lord throughout India. But Lord Chaitanya instructed him. He said, do not be foolish. He said, simply stay in your place. And Yari Deke, Tari Kaha, Krishna Padesh, Amara Agyaya, Guru Hana, Tara Kedesh. You simply stay in your place and you preach the glories of Krishna, Krishna Upadesh. On my order, you become a guru. So that is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's given all of his followers, all of us, the order to become a spiritual master. There are different types of gurus. Diksha guru, Shiksha guru. Shiksha guru, Vatna Pradaksha guru. Shiksha guru means one who gives instruction. So on Lord Chaitanya's order, everyone should become guru. It means that you should stay in your place and you should teach others about Krishna. Krishna Upadesh. So this is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That all of us have the responsibility, the mandate given to us by Lord Chaitanya to become teachers of this science of Krishna. And by doing this, this is how you will receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can say, well, I'm not qualified to become a guru. But Lord Chaitanya is more intelligent than you. And he is saying, on my order you become. So someone should not think that I've become qualified to become a guru. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur said, if you think you're a guru, you have become Guru. Guru means a cow. So if you think that you are a guru, if you think you've become very qualified, then you are unqualified. But the nature of the devotee is he does not think he is qualified, but on the order of Lord Chaitanya, he tries to deliver everyone in his land. Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. The instructions of Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya instructed Korma, the Brahmana, he said, stay in your place and simply teach others about Krishna. And in this way, your life will become perfect. And Lord Chaitanya said, very soon you will meet Krishna. This is the process. So, any points? Therefore, O sons of the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon Him continuously.
The word asat is significant, for it means not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kshatriya. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds in the priest daily. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakura Haridas, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other reason. Some of the Goswamis like Raghunatha Goswami were also chanting very rigidly and also offering obeisances very rigidly. As stated in Srinivasa Acharya's prayer to Sikh Goswami, Sat Goswami Ashtaka, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Dhana Nathiri, Kala Vashni Sutta. The word Sankhya Purvaka means maintaining a numerical strength. Not only was Raghunatha Goswami chanting the holy name of the Lord, but he was also offering obeisance in the same solitary number. Because the princes were ready to enter into some severe austerity in order to worship the Lord, Lord Shiva advised them to constantly chant and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is significant that Lord Shiva personally offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as he was taught by his father, Lord Brahma. Similarly, he was also preaching to the princess according to the Parampara system. One not only should practice the instructions received from the spiritual master, but should also distribute this knowledge to one's disciples. The words Atmanam, Atmastam, Sarva Bhuteshu, Avastam are also significant. The personality of Godhead is the origin of all living entities. Because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, He is the father of all of them. One can search out the Supreme Lord very easily within one's heart, for He is situated in every living entity's heart. In this verse, the process of worshipping the Lord is considered to be very easy and complete, for anyone can sit down anywhere and in any condition of life and simply chant the holy name of the Lord. By chanting and hearing, one automatically engages in meditation.
Any points in this purport?
One should get the knowledge from the deceased succession and also preach that message.
Anything else?
The Parampara system ensures integrity of knowledge. There is no deviation, no distortion.
Anything else?
Well, it is important to do austerity, but the main point that Lord Shiva emphasized when he was instructing the princess was to constantly chant Lord's name. Meaning, any austerity done without pleasing the Lord, it's not a real austerity. just austerity.
Any other points?
Not with the Hari Toshana, so.
Anything else? So the first paragraph, Prabhupada emphasizes that one should perform his sadhana bhakti, his devotional practices, with numerical strength, which means one should take vows to perform his devotional practices with a certain fixed number. So we chant a certain number of rounds. We chant 16 rounds a day. That is our vow, like that. So then, in order to progress in devotional service, you must take up devotional service, and you must maintain your sadhana based on numerical strength, as Prabhupada says. It means you have to take up a number of rounds that you can maintain, and you must chant those rounds in a fixed way. This is how we progress in devotional service. So actually in the Chaitanya Bhagavat there is a statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, I am purchased by someone who chants 1 lakh of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. What is 1 lakh? It means 64. It means 64 rounds. It means 100,000 names every day. The Lord Chaitanya says, I am purchased by a person who is chanting 100,000 names a day sincerely. So that is 64 rounds a day. And we see that Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he was encouraging many of his followers to also chant 64 rounds a day. So this is how we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We have to fix ourselves up on a particular number, and we must maintain that. It is said that Raghunath Das Goswami, he was chanting 1 lakh every day. And he was offering obeisances 1,000 times to devotees and 1,000 times to the deities. And it's said that his devotional practices were like a line in stone. Once you put a line in the stone, it cannot be removed, it is fixed. So similarly, the devotional practices of Raghunath Das Goswami were fixed like a line in stone. They were not deviating. So that means in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must practice devotional service with numerical strength. So every day we're chanting 64 rounds a day or 16 rounds a day, even if it's 1 round a day, but must be done every day. This is how we progress. And as we see in the lives of the Goswamis, they were offering obeisances 1,000 times a day to devotees taking a vow that every day, at least 1,000 times a day, I'll offer obeisances to the devotees, at least 1,000 times to the deities. Very serious vows, but they would do it every day, maintaining. Haridas Thakur would chant 300,000 names a day. That's 192 rounds every day, fixed. So this is the standard in order to make progress. Now Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, one has to become serious if one wants to attain Krishna. Krishna is not attained by any kind of whimsical endeavor or practice in order to try to attain him. One must become very serious, very sincere. So, for example, on Thursday we have Purnima. Third month of Chaturmas comes. So then we have to fast for milk for 1 month. Right? Then, after that, comes Damodar Mas. Comes Kartik Mas. So already you should be thinking. Kartik is only 1 month away. What special vows will you take for the month of Kartik? Vaishnavas take many different vows. I will chant one extra round every day. I will offer a candle to the deities every day. I will sing Damodar Ashtika every day. I will circumambulate the temple every day. So many different vows you can take. I will not eat sweets for 1 month. All these different vows. So many different vows you can take for the pleasure of Krishna. So if you want to become serious, if you want to attain Krishna, then you have to take up vrata. Vrata means vows in order to attain Krishna. Now those vows are personal vows. They're not spoken to anyone else. It says that if you take a vrat to chant extra rounds, and then if you tell anyone how many rounds you'll chant, say normally you chant 16 rounds. In Kartik you take the vow to chant 64 rounds a day. And if you tell someone that I'm chanting 64 rounds a day, they get half the benefit of your chanting. So it means the vrat must be taken personally, privately. Gauranga, what is that silly noise you were making? So, it means that one must become very serious. But one should not do one's devotional service based upon personal pratishta, which means pride. One should not perform one's devotional service to become recognized by others. This is the teaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, oh my mind, what sort of a devotee are you? Simply you're going to a solitary place to do bhajan in order to attract the fame and attention and the adoration of others. What sort of a devotee are you? In Manashiksha, in the teachings to the mind, Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that I should give up pratishta. He said, having pratishta, or desire for recognition from other devotees, we're performing our devotional service to become recognized by others. He said that is equivalent to taking a bath every day in donkey's urine. Hands up if you would take a bath in donkey's urine. I don't think any of us would do that. But he says that if your devotional service is based upon the desire to receive recognition from others, that is your main motivation for doing devotional service to Krishna, he said then that is like contaminating yourself, a donkey's urine. So this should not be our motivation in our devotional service. Any points? It's up to you. You can, I take, there's things I try to do in Kartik that I don't do in the rest of the year. His Kartik Mas is special. Kartik Mas is governed by Srimati Radharani. So any service that you do in Kartik, then you get thousands of times more benefit by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So it means in Kartik you can take special vows to increase your bhakti, increase your service to Krishna, qualitatively and quantitatively. Yeah, there's consequence. Well, don't take it bright if you cannot fulfill it. Any other points?
You spoke about sharing the world. You said you can't share with your boss. If someone comes to know about it, eventually, so, like for example, our partner, obviously, you know, I'm going to chant 10 extra hours, for example.
So they get half the benefit.
So, even if it's unhappy.
Any other points?
Prabhu, regarding the involved aspect of whatever we have to do, basically, if we try to take something and we cannot put in that, right? Unless we have the blessing of Vaishnava, we cannot take that, just like that.
What?
You said about.
Yeah, I heard the first part, but then what did you say?
Is it not principle that, you know, we are independent mindedly, we are taking decisions without, you know, getting any instructions from
Yeah, you can do like that. You can go to some senior devotee if you want to get blessings before you begin the krata. It's okay.
You say they get half the blessing, you mean the person you tell gets half the blessing. So you could do it and then tell somebody so they get the blessing.
If you want.
So you can try to find out who's doing it, but you get the credit.
Just see the difference in the consciousness. Bala is a businessman. Brihad Bala. It's a good name, Brihad Bala. I had a friend in Germany who was a big book distributor. His name was Brihad Bhanu Prabhu. It's a good name. He got initiated last week, right around his birthday.
One other question is, if you were chanting on your breath and you saw somebody that needed a hand so you could actually do some service for them, and you just kept chanting as you go, is it more beneficial or less beneficial than if you stay just chanting and just watch them doing it? If you're actually chanting for some service, so you see somebody going past, you could actually do some service for, but you keep chanting on the boots. So is it, you know,
as long as you finish your rounds every day. You're praying for service, then Krishna gives you an opportunity to serve. You should do service, but part of your service is also to finish your rounds. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you can still continue to chant while you're going. You're not necessarily on your boots, so.
Yeah, so that's the answer is.
So that the answer is you need to do that on your boots.
No, the answer is as long as you finish your rounds, you can do as much service as you want. Any other points?
Manjuri Vaishnava Acharya once asked, when should we chant?
So
he said, whenever
you're
breathing, you should chant.
24
hours.
Any other points?
In one of the classes, you said that you can take vows in front of beings. And when it comes to the vows of Kartik Mass, so vows taken in mind, or how we should do it?
On the first day of Kartik, on the Braj Mandal Parakram, when in 1994 I did Braj Mandal Parakram, so we walked around Vrindavan for 1 month like that. At the very beginning, on the first day on the Purnima, we went to the Jamuna in Mathura. We took bath in the Jamuna and then we took our vrat in our mind at that point. So you can meditate. And you can take your brush in your mind. Any other point? My dear princes, in the form of a prayer I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. all of you should take up this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method. Prima Dham Prabhu.
In the Hatha Yoga system, one has to practice bodily exercise, dhyana, dharana, asana, meditation, etc. One also has to sit in one place in a particular posture and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. There are so many rules and regulations for the Hatha Yoga system that it is practically impossible to perform in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age but in others as well. For this yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva when he advised Princess, the son of Maharaj Parichin of Harisha. The Bhakti Yoga system is not newly introduced, for even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this Bhakti Yoga as the topmost yoga. As Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yogyam api sarvesham madgate antaratmana sraddhavan bhajate yomam swame yukta tamamatama. Of all the yogis, he who always resides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is highest of all. The topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, this system of Bhakti Yoga has been existing from time immemorial and is now continuing in this Krishna conscious movement. The word Muni Vrata is significant in this regard because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Silence means talking only to Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Amrish. Savai Mana Krishna Padar Vindaryo Pasami Vaikuntana Vaikuntha Kuna No Varnani. King Amrisha always fixes his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and talks to him only. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good a great saint simply by not talking unnecessarily to unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Muni Vrata. The intelligence must be very sharp, samayita dhyana, and should always be acting in Krishna consciousness. The word etat abhisharita indicates that if one takes these instructions from spiritual master with great reverence and practice, then accordingly he will find this Bhakti Yoga process to be very, very easy.
What are the points here?
This Bhakti Yoga is there since time immemorial, it's not. But it is according to one place mentioned that the Bhakti Yoga started 5,000 years ago. And in another paragraph, Prabhupada mentioned that it's there in time immemorial. So,
you tell me. What is the answer? Devotional service is going on in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, so it's going on from time immemorial. When Krishna comes 5,000 years ago, he speaks the Bhagavad Gita once again. Okay. So there's no contradiction. Does it make sense?
No, the scientist is clear, there is no contradiction. It says, the Yoga system is not newly introduced for even 5,000 years. It says, even 5,000 years. Mm-hmm. It's not just starting at all.
Any other points? Do you do that?
Mm-hmm. I try to do that.
What do you think, Janesh?
Trying.
Doing a good job. You got a very good name. Prema Tarangini Radha. Very good name. Vijabhadu. Very good names. Very fortunate you have such a pure devotee as a spiritual master. Any other points?
Maharaj, he said that a devotee, a pure devotee is mitabhashi, he doesn't speak much.
Yeah, Mahaprabhu says one of the 26 qualities of the devotee is mitabuk. Yeah, okay. Means the devotee does not speak too much. Like that. The devotee is known as Gambira. Gambira means? Grave. Now, in the teachings of Bhishma, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Bhishma says that gravity comes through silence. If you want to become grave as a devotee, it becomes like Muni, or if you want to become Dira, sober, or if you want to become Gambira, which means very deep, very grave, this comes through silence. You see, generally in the material world, people talk too much. People like to hear the sound of their own voice. Too much. So, unless you are speaking topics related to Krishna, then it is considered that you are often speaking too much. So silence for the devotee, Maunavrat, is not simply speaking not at all, but only speaking topics related to Krishna. This is silence. This breeds gravity like that. And one needs to become brave if one wants to advance in Krishna consciousness. So it means we should do some silence. That is good. I know some devotees, or I know who live in India, in the Holy Dharam, they quite often take Maunavrat, means they don't speak, only chanting like that. One of my friends, I saw him one time, and he came up from behind me, and he like touched me, and I turned around, I looked at him, and I went to speak to him, and he just walked off. And then I followed him, and then I said, I was speaking to him, and he wasn't speaking anything back. I said, "Oh, you've taken Maunavrat." He said, not speaking like that. Sometimes they take it for 1 month or something like that. Very good for the consciousness. Why don't you just do it for 1 day? It's good, seriously. You do it for 1 day. Take Mona Brat for 1 day. Maybe let some people know.
not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah, let people know that you're doing Mona Brat. But do it for 1 day. It's very good. Because it helps you to control your mind. Because the tongue has two functions. One is tasting. One is speaking. And the tongue is the most difficult to control. Right? It's very hard to stop the tongue from wanting to taste nice, palatable food stuff. It's also very hard to stop the tongue from talking. So, if you take Maunavrat, even if you just do it for 1 day, it'll be very beneficial for you. Because then you'll see that it'll give you the ability to control your mind more. Because this urge of speaking, this vegan, to speak, it is very powerful. But it can be a great hindrance in devotional service also. Like that. So see if you can do some great austerity. Just don't speak for 1 day. Only chant. Like that. Or read the Bhagavatam like that. See if you can do it. Why don't you do it in Kartik? Do it for 1 day. Maunavrat.
Then we have kids.
What's that?
When we have kids, we have.
Yeah, so you've got kids, so you've got an excuse. Mm-hmm. But other people may not have an excuse.
So, if you do it in Kartik again, people who know they get a upper benefit.
To stay at home all day. Or like Mick said, then give half the benefit to people. Not such a big deal. Yeah, I don't think I come to the temple for breakfast while I was doing Maunavrat. Not very practical. Well, if you're going to do Maunavrat, then you should go to a silent place. Or just go into the temple and just chant or like that. Any other points?
Some people know that devotees not know. They are thinking that they are very advanced and they just don't talk to us from their own. Out of pride, they do more. They said they are very advanced and then they just ignore or they don't talk to you properly. That is also not good. The person is not. They think that they are more advanced and then they just don't, they just ignore you. What you ask, I don't need to ask.
that's coming out of pride, that's not coming out of real silence for grace and not being for that. If some neophyte says the body is getting the way of not being there. Out of pride, it's not possible. Sorry, I'm sorry.
I have a very close relative in India, and for the past few months he started observing non-vrata. So he sleeps in the night and he won't talk till like 10-9 o'clock. And because of this, he was so many times he was in trouble. He was visiting holy places and he couldn't say anything. But then I asked him, why you do this? He just said, I feel it good. So I just want to emphasize a point that I can control myself other than anything else. So it's not again coming from any higher values. We just want to store something or just want to make a point that I can control myself. So when you achieve that control, it's not used for any higher reason.
It must be done for Krishna's pleasure, that's the point. So then we say monograt, so that means all we do is chant. Or read the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavad Gita out loud. So that's pleasing to Krishna. So you can do these things for Krishna's pleasure. It will help you to control your mind. It will purify the mind.
Well, these days, if you apply for a job, and if technically you are all okay, they cannot refuse it, but they say you don't have enough gravitas. So, well, if 2,000 are there, one looks more charismatic. This is maybe for the top positions. So you don't have that flair to take the whole organization. Even if you got all the boxes ticked off, but still you don't have that gravity, the gravitas. So they started working like this as well.
Anything else?
Chanting means one of them.
What's that?
Chanting. If you just chanting.
Yeah.
So speaking about Krishna and chanting is all.
That is monavrata. Okay. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that we have to be careful in devotional service that we do not come under the influence of Maya. These personalities who create at the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma and the Prajapatis, his representatives, they pray we will now become in contact with the material energy, please help us not to become influenced by Maya. So like all of us, we have to go out and associate with the material energy. But we pray to Krishna, please help us not to become influenced by Maya. So these great souls, the Prajapatis, before they performed their service of creation, then they pray to the Lord, please do not let us become influenced. And Lord Shiva is saying they all received these prayers, which are in this chapter. In the beginning of the creation, they received these prayers from Lord Brahma. And then Lord Shiva is now repeating it now in this chapter. So these prayers have been chanted for millions of years by great progenitors, by the original progenitors within this universe. Okay. So the prayers are very powerful. And they're teaching us the proper mood. Before we do any endeavor for Krishna, we must pray not to become influenced by Maya. Because the tendency is very strong. Prabhupada said, be very careful that the tendency for sense gratification does not arise in the name of Krishna consciousness. Because sometimes we say we're doing something for Krishna, but actually we're doing it primarily for our own benefit. Because we will benefit from that activity, materially or subtly, we will benefit. So then we do the activity. But then it's based upon sense gratification. Even though it's being done for Krishna, but there's some benefit that we're deriving from it. So therefore Prabhupada says, be very careful that the mood of sense gratification is in the name of Krishna consciousness. So you have to keep yourself in a very humble position and always pray to Krishna to protect us. Any points? When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers and praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus we were able to create different types of living entities. Do you want to turn the heater down just a little bit? A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra of prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Sharon, if you can hear me.
Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.2.28, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramukha. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudeva or Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gain and liberation simply by offering prayers to Him. There are many varieties of prayers to Lord Krishna chanted by great sages and great personalities such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva Vilinchi Nuttam. Bhagavatam 11th Canto 5th Chapter 33rd Verse. Shiva means Lord Shiva and Vilinchi means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudeva Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of such great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Unfortunately, people do not know this secret. Nate viduhu svartha gatim hi Vishnu. They do not know that the real interest and the highest perfection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Bhagavatam 7th Canto 5th Chapter 1st Verse. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. Without becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita 7th Chapter 8, 19th Verse, Bhagunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabhah. After many births and deaths, a wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything. Such a great soul is very rare. We can achieve whatever benediction we want simply by becoming devotees of Vasudeva.
So the point is...
Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma always playing these prayers all the time. Shiva Vilinchi, Elva Prabhupada and Sri. We all must do the same.
Anything else?
Gopura Deshpur was mentioning in the class, some prayers like Nivritta Sarsara Padhya Mama, like all those such prayers before chanting, we should chant and then we chant. Chanting will be effective.
Anything else?
Then is it more effective to pray for elevation for the other devotees rather than make prayer for yourself?
Any other points?
Since the last one, we can achieve whatever benediction we want to give to the devotees of the devotees. If you want some benediction from him, and if he doesn't think that it is right for you, then he will give you in such a way that you will think it, but you won't get that.
As long as what you want is spiritual, that's all. If you want something material, he may not give that. But if you want something spiritual, then he will give it to you when you're ready for it.
When you are ready.
Yeah.
But if you are a devotee or sin, then you won't ask him to your sin.
Hopefully, yeah.
Sidra Maharaj, he wanted to see the Lord. But he wanted to see the Lord, this is spiritual. But he wanted a kingdom bigger than Lord Brahma. So that was material.
So sometimes devotees want material things also.
Yeah. So,
Prabhupada is emphasizing here that the way to become successful is to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. Mahajan Yena Keta Sapanta. And we must follow in the footsteps of great souls. So Lord Shiva is giving us direction here, how to become successful. These prayers came from Lord Brahma, who is one of the 12 Mahajanas. And Lord Shiva is also one of the 12 Mahajanas. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Manu, Kapila, the Kumaras, Janak, Prahlad, Bhishma, Bali, already said Janak, Bali, Shukadev, and Yamaraj. So these are the 12 Mahajans. So to become successful, you must be following in their footsteps. The Bhagavatam is mainly made up of the instructions of these Mahajans. So we become successful when we follow. If we do not follow, you do not get success. That is how we make advancement in spiritual life. When you follow your authority, and when you follow the great devotees, then you become successful in Krishna consciousness. But if you do not follow, you cannot become successful. Even you may have the association of great devotees, but if you do not follow them, their example and their instructions, then you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. So success comes when we follow the pure devotees. So Lord Shiva here is giving us so much direction and so much guidance and so much association through the pages of the Bhagavatam. If we follow, if we take the guidance, if we take his instructions to heart, if we practice what he is teaching us, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. But if we, even in spite of giving so much instruction and so much association, if we don't follow, then our progress will be limited. So, any points?
In this verse number 73, last sentence says, Lord Shiva is saying, thus we were able to create different type of living entities. So is Lord Shiva also creates living entity, or when he said we along with Brahma?
Yeah, Prajapatis means the great sages who came like that. Shiva himself created Kartikeya. He created Ganesh like that. So he is also Prajapati like that. But then there are other sages and so forth who also created many personalities. Any other points?
That's following the footsteps means the following practice rather than just following the theory.
Yeah, there's no use just saying that you have to do it. There's no use saying I am a devotee. You have to practice devotional service. Any other points? He's not included in the list, but he is a manager. He's not in that particular list. In this material world, where are we at? Which one? 75. That's correct. In this material world, there are different types of achievement, but of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of Nisias only by the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. So where does knowledge come from? Knowledge comes from the leaders in society. Right. Now, what is the problem in the current society? There's no qualified leaders. Just like we have a new leader in our country. But she openly declares she does not believe in God. So where is her leadership? Yeah. She openly says she does not believe in God. She's a nice lady and she has good intentions, but she does not believe in God. So is she qualified to be a leader? We would have to question that. Okay. So this is why society has problems, because there is lack of good leadership. At least within our small community, we have a microcosmic community and the macrocosmic community. Our International Society for Christian Consciousness is very small, 6 billion people on this earth. How many people are actually devotees of Islam? Much less. But there must be good leadership within that small society. And when the good leadership is there, then all the praja, which means all of the followers, they become purified. But if there's not good leadership, people do not become purified. So knowledge is kept in check, or it is continued, when there is good leadership. And Krishna emphasizes this at the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says this knowledge was lost, and therefore I came again to reinstate this Divya Gyan, or spiritual knowledge, for the benefit of society. So therefore, society requires good leaders. Prabhupada expected everyone who is within our movement, not everyone, but most of the devotees, to take their Bhakti Shastri, to become qualified in Bhakti Shastri, to study Bhagavad Gita, Ishapanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, become qualified, and then become qualified to teach to others, to take the position of leadership. This is how a movement spreads, when devotees take the position of responsibility. Like that. They take responsibility for learning the teachings of Krishna, and they take responsibility for teaching that to others. So the more people, because Prabhupada said we need hundreds and thousands of spiritual masters. How many do we have in ISKCON? 120, 130, 140? Is that enough for 6 billion people? It's insignificant. So therefore, we need every devotee to take up this responsibility within our society. Okay. Then society can change. Otherwise, society will not change. Any points?
Yeah, although if you've got single great leaders like Prabhupada, then that makes a big difference.
Few years back, there was a survey done in U.S. and at that time there were 55,000 people in U.S. that claimed themselves to be Jesus. And once when Prabhupada was making life members in India, visited one politician and offered him Bhagavad Gita. And immediately the politician took Bhagavad Gita and touched on the head. Then Prabhupada said when he was leaving the room that this leader has put Gita on his head and he will progress to the top of the ladder. And that person became Gyani Jal Singh, the president of India.
Okay. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra, prayer, composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's up among you? Okay, so Prabhupada explains in this purport that devotional service is only attained by one who worships the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Otherwise, as Lord Shiva says, it is very difficult to begin devotional service. And we see in this world it's very difficult for people to take to devotional service. Just like in this city of Melbourne, most people are not inclined to take to devotional service. So what does it require? It requires that they receive the blessings of a pure devotee. So therefore Prabhupada said, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. This was his methodology, distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, and distributing prasadam. And this is the mercy of the pure devotee. And when they get this purification of consciousness, then they can begin to take to devotional service. They can understand. Just like I came to the temple today, and then I saw in the notice board there's a poster that the devotees are going to the MCG for the grand final to perform Harinam Sankirtan. So as many devotees as possible should go. Jananda Maharaj will be there, inspiring everyone to chant the holy name. And going right into the heart of the Ashwamedha Yagya. Right into the heart of the material energy. The biggest event on the calendar of the year. And then devotees are going to go right into the middle of that. And to spread the holy name, to get benefit to all the conditioned souls who have forgotten Krishna. Okay. So this is the most merciful activity. This is giving the mercy of the pure devotees to the masses. Okay. So devotees are always looking for these opportunities to give the mercy of the pure devotee to the masses. And this is what changes their consciousness. If they do not get this mercy, they cannot take to devotional service. So as much as possible, every devotee should participate in this great yajna. Any points?
According to some stats, few years back, DBT has distributed around 600 million copies. So that's far off by any standards, the best bookseller.
Yeah, so 600 million copies means 1 in 10 people on the planet has one of Prabhupada's books, which is good. Any other point? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the dearmost objective of all auspicious benedictions. A human being who sings this song, sung by me, can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, Gauranga? Oh no, it's not Gauranga, sorry. He's waking up. Such a devotee being fixed in the Lord's devotional service can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. So devotees do not want anything else but to serve Krishna. That is their motivation. So although we should be very careful in our consciousness, because Lord Shiva is giving a benediction here. And when Lord Shiva gives a benediction, it must come true, because Lord Shiva is Vaishnavana Itashambhu. He's the greatest devotee. So he says that anyone who reads this prayer, means this chapter of the Bhagavatam, he can get any desire he wants. There are many times like this. Right? Just like on Snan Yatra, which we always have on Boxing Day in Melbourne. Then Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they appear Hathi Vesh. So at that time, whatever you ask for, when the Lord is showing that form, you will have that desire fulfilled. So you have to be very careful. If Lord Shiva is saying you read this chapter, you will get your desires fulfilled. Then you have to be very careful what you desire. Because if you desire something material, you can get that very easily. But that's a very insignificant thing to get. Because in your next lifetime, you won't have it anymore. Just like if you have in your heart the desire to have the biggest diamond in the world, and so you get a diamond, a huge diamond, then in your next lifetime you won't have that diamond. Whereas if you pray to the Lord for some spiritual benediction, that will lead you into eternal devotional service. So you must be very careful what you desire. If you have some material desire, then you'll go in a different direction. A devotee who rises early in the morning and with folded hands chants these prayers sung by Lord Shiva and gives facility to others to hear them certainly becomes free from all bondage to fruitive activities. My dear sons of the King, the prayers I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the final line, in the final purport in the chapter, Prabhupada is saying that if you stick to something, then gradually you will attain it. Rupa Goswami says in the Upadeshamrita, Utsahan Nishchayat Daryat. Daryat means patience. You must be patient in devotional service. Do not think the result will come quickly. But if you stick to it, then eventually you will get the result. So in devotional service, our resolve must be, we will stay no matter what. Just like when His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami, when He gives initiation to someone in ISKCON, He says, follow the four regulative principles, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds a day, and then He makes them take one more vow. He said, never leave ISKCON. So this should be all of our vows. Like that. You just stay. No matter what happens, you just stay in ISKCON. Your whole life. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and just stay in ISKCON. Prabhupada says, you will go back to Godhead. Prabhupada has given that benediction. Like that. You must stay. And do not become impatient. Sometimes it feels like it's not moving very quickly. It takes time, like that. But you have to be patient. This is a marathon. How long does it take to run a marathon? How long is a marathon? 42 kilometers. How long does it take the top athletes in the world to run 42 kilometers? 2 hours, 10 minutes. Like that. How long does it take you to run 42 kilometers? Probably about 8 hours. Like that. It's a long way. But devotional service is much longer than that. Devotional service is 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, like that. You have to be very serious. You have to be very patient. Enthusiastic, determined, and patient, confident, like that. And then you will get the result. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 30, like that. Srila Prabhupada ki.